You guys can be seated. Well, good at Adventure Church, and I see a lot of new faces, which is awesome. We're so glad that you came to Adventure Church to celebrate Jesus. I introduced myself. Why don't we take 1 minute to just maybe turn to somebody beside you and wish them a Merry Christmas and introduce yourself. All right. So I have a rhetorical question. And for you adults and children who don't know what rhetorical means, it means don't answer this out loud, but be thinking in your own mind how you would answer this. What are you celebrating this Christmas?
Jesus.
Didn't listen. Just think about it. What are you celebrating? What is your reason for celebrating this Christmas? Yes. That's almost always the right answer in Sunday school, right? Jesus. And it is the right answer here. I grew up, to just tell you a little bit about myself and Christmas and some of the traditions around my life, I grew up with lots of rich tradition as a family. And our Christmases looked very similar from year to year. We had the traditions of getting presents and giving presents, and I always had my hopes up for a cap gun or some Star Wars figure. There was the traditions of decorating and the lights all over, and my parents went all out on that. And we always went to a midnight service Christmas Eve. So some of you have done that or had that as a part of your tradition. We don't do a midnight service, but it would start at like 10:30 or 11, and it would end. By the time it ended, it was Christmas Day. And I usually fell asleep during that service as a kid. But I learned a lot in my upbringing about the story of Jesus being born, about no room at the inn, right? There's no room at the inn for Mary and Joseph. And so they had to basically go to the stall or stable, and Mary gave birth to Jesus in a manger, which is a feeding trough. He was laid in the hay. We know these stories, right? The wise men who didn't actually come Christmas Day. They didn't come when Jesus was born. They came a bit later. And we don't know if there are three of them. I hate to, ruin all your traditions there, but just looking at the Bible and what it says. But the angels came and spoke to the shepherds out in the field, and I knew all of that stuff. I learned that year to year to year. I could answer all the trivia on what happened when Jesus was born. And I think that there's a lot of focus for us on those incredible things that happened and the way God brought all these different factors together, and even prophecies, things that were spoken long ago in the Bible that would happen around the occasion of Jesus' birth happened. They're fascinating things to study. But if we don't understand why Jesus came and was born, there's really not a lot of significance to knowing all of those details about the Christmas story. So in prayer about that, and my wife and I just praying as we approach December, and like, what does God want us to focus on this December, this Christmas season? He really led us to spend our time looking at why Jesus was born. And that's where we've been in the series that we've been talking about on Sunday mornings. And I'm going to do a little bit of talking about that and helping those of you who haven't been here the last several Sundays to understand what we've been looking at for the why. But in order to open that up, that idea a little bit, I want to read you a story. It's a story, actually, that Jesus told. And the record that we have of Jesus telling this story is one verse. It's a one-verse story. I'm going to read a longer version that somebody wrote to help us imagine that story played out. So I'm going to read from an author called Randy Alcorn's book, The Treasure Principle. So if it helps you, just kind of take a deep breath, relax. It's story time. Close your eyes if it helps you imagine this. But I want you to picture this scene, because in this story, what Jesus is trying to help us understand is why. Why was he born? Why did he come? A first century Hebrew walks alone on a hot afternoon, staff in hand. His shoulders are stooped, sandals covered with dirt, tunic stained with sweat. But he doesn't stop to rest. He has pressing business in the city. He veers off the road into a field, seeking a shortcut. The owner won't mind. Travelers are permitted this courtesy. The field is uneven. To keep his balance, he thrusts his staff into the dirt. Thunk. The staff strikes something hard. He stops, wipes his brow, and pokes again. Thunk. Something's under there, and it's not a rock. The weary traveler tells himself that he can't afford to linger, but his curiosity won't let him go. He jabs at the ground. Something reflects a sliver of sunlight. He drops to his knees and starts digging. 5 minutes later, he's uncovered it, a case fringed in gold. By the looks of it, it's been there for decades. Heart racing, he pries off the rusty lock and opens the lid. Gold coins, jewelry, precious stones of every color. A treasure more valuable than anything he's ever imagined. Hands shaking, the traveler inspects the coins issued in Rome over 70 years ago. Some wealthy man must have buried the case and died suddenly. The secret of the treasure's location dying with him. There is no homestead nearby. Surely the current landowner has no clue that the treasure's here. The traveler closes the lid, buries the treasure, and marks the spot. He turns around, heading home. Only now, he's not plodding. He's skipping like a little boy, smiling broadly. What a find. Unbelievable. I've got to have that treasure. But I can't just take it. That would be stealing. Whoever owns the field owns what's in it. But how can I afford to buy it? I'll sell my farm and crops, all my tools, my prize oxen. Yes, if I sell everything, that should be enough. From the moment of his discovery, the traveler's life changes. The treasure captures his imagination, becomes the stuff of his dreams. It's his reference point, his new center of gravity. The traveler takes every new step with this treasure in mind. And so what Jesus is trying to get to when he tells this is the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And so what Jesus is telling us about is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was a king coming to invade a kingdom. And the kingdom he was invading, kind of like we heard from the scriptures we read for the Christ candle in Advent, is he was invading the kingdom of darkness, which is the kingdom that we live in right now in this world. but there's a reason we celebrate so much. There's a reason the world celebrates Jesus, and many don't even know it. There's this treasure that Jesus is telling us, if you're willing to take his word for it, is worth more than any other thing in your life. Especially any possession you might have. Can you imagine actually valuing God so much that you list through, kind of like this Hebrew man, list through the things that you have, and I'll sell my house, I'll sell my, to get this. Now Jesus' point in the story is not that you can buy the kingdom of heaven. That's not what he's pointing at. What he's pointing at is that the kingdom of heaven is priceless. It's more valuable than anything you could possibly have. It's worth selling or trading or exchanging anything in your life that might be standing in the way of the kingdom and of this relationship with the king. Well, the last 4 weeks, like I mentioned, we've been looking at what we call the Great Christmas Exchange. And what that means is this idea that Jesus didn't just come and born as a baby and grew up and for some reason that was special. He was actually coming with an incredible offer. An offer very similar to the story that we just read and that Jesus told us in the scriptures. If you can imagine, Christmas is kind of, for many people, kind of like, imagine going out in the Snoqualmie Valley here and walking through a farmer's field and kicking up just a corner of a treasure chest that's sticking up there. For many people, Christmas is kind of tripping on that, on the lid, and getting up, I wonder what that was. It's enough to kind of break up their journey and stop them for a bit and cause a little bit of a pause and a checking it out and maybe a couple kicks, but not enough to get down on their knees and dig it up and discover that they just tripped on the most valuable treasure they'll ever be offered in their life. And so the way that we've been looking at that treasure and what that treasure looks like, what Jesus came to offer us, is by going back in the Old Testament, in the books that were written long before Jesus was born, and these men called prophets who had heard from God things that would happen in the future that God would accomplish because God's writing a story and he let these men into the story he was writing. Even though they didn't understand it, they wrote it down. And now that the story's played out further, we can look back and go, they were writing about this story. And Jesus pointed back to this chapter and said, this chapter is talking about me. When he was alive, he opened to Isaiah chapter 61 and read it and said, this is talking about me. In your hearing, this has been fulfilled as he read it. But part of that chapter right here explains these amazing exchanges that Jesus came to give us. And so we've been looking at these exchanges right here. So it says, and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Zion is the city of God, Jerusalem. And it represents the place of God. And so those who were grieving because Israel had been exiled because of their sin, they didn't walk with God in his ways. And so they had been driven out of Jerusalem, but God's offering a promise to them that he'll restore them. And then Jesus said, I'm offering that to all who would come to me, who would be willing to receive this treasure that I'm offering, this restoration. And so this is what the exchanges look like. He said to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. And so in that time when Isaiah was writing, ashes were something you did when you were mourning or repenting. Ashes kind of represent the ruins of our lives. If we think about the things that have been ruined in our lives, either by our own sin and choices or somebody else's, it's like ash. And Jesus is saying, it's much more than him just coming and being born. He's saying, if you come to me, guess what I'll do for you? I'll take your ashes and I'll give you a crown of beauty, which is like a garland in Isaiah's time. It's like this victory celebration crown around your head. So that's the salvation that he offers if we'll bring our brokenness and sin to him. in repentance and turning from it. Jesus said he's going to give us the oil of gladness instead of mourning. So in the places in our life that are broken and where there's loss, we can come to him with those if we're willing to come to him and offer those up to him, and there's an exchange. You can't get a better exchange than that. He's going to give us the oil of gladness. And that oil representing an anointing, a pouring over, and even his spirit that he says he'll give us if we come to him with our brokenness. And from that comes this joy in our lives that can't be explained by circumstance, because we're still going to have hard times, but we'll be filled with a joy. These are the things that we've been unpacking, that Jesus came. This is the why. And looking at the why Jesus came. Why was he born? Another amazing thing that he said he would give is, he said, if you bring a spirit of despair to me, which is the utter absence, total loss of hope. So it's not having any hope in your life. That's despair. If you bring your hopelessness, any area of your life right now that you might be facing hopelessness, Jesus says, if you bring that to me, I'm going to give you a garment of praise when you see what I do in your life and restore in your life. So Christmas is super exciting, and all the details about the Christmas story are super exciting because of this great king who was born, Jesus, to come and give us these amazing exchanges in our lives. And so that's what we're celebrating. That's what we've been celebrating here at Adventure around Christmas. But I want to look, which we haven't looked at in the last few weeks, at the end of that verse. What does it say at the end? So after all these exchanges that he's made, as you come to him, what is he doing in our lives? What does he want to accomplish in us? It says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So as a part of this kingdom of heaven that Jesus is inviting us to be a part of, he actually wants to establish us as this picture of an oak of righteousness. What's an oak? Kids, you know what an oak is? What's an oak? Muscles? No, it's a big tree, an oak tree. And a big oak tree, they get a big base on them and huge branches that branch out. And Isaiah's given us this picture that each one of us, God wants to make us into, grow us into. It takes time for that oak tree to get that big, for its splendor to come forth. But God wants to do that work in us so that we would reflect his righteousness, that the glory would go back to him, but it's because of what he wants to do through us. And so it's an amazing chapter if we really look at it and we say, wow, is there more depth to Christmas maybe than I've understood in the past? And so the pieces came together for me many years ago from my childhood and understanding the Christmas story and knowing, I don't know why, but it just seems like this is a really big deal that Jesus was born. It just seems like, you know, there's the people in my life really seem to celebrate this. Something significant is there. I just hadn't put it together yet. And God was after my heart, and he wanted me to understand that so that I could step into it and actually open my hands and receive the exchanges that he wanted to give me, which he did eventually do. So really, Christmas is about the invasion of a kingdom. It's actually, maybe on another Christmas, some other Christmas, you can come here and we'll talk about how incredibly epic that invasion really was. It was much more than just a peaceful starry night and angels speaking to shepherds, and there was war and there was violence, because Jesus Christ was coming on a rescue mission for every one of us. And there was the forces of darkness that did not like that. Okay, I'm not talking about movies here. I'm talking about the Word of God and the explanation that Jesus was coming on an incredible mission to save us. The greatest Christmas exchange can be summed up in probably the most well-known verse of Scripture. Most people know this verse. It might be your first time hearing it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There's the exchange. He gave his Son so that we would not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Let me read that again, because I don't know if the world understands that. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So God's heart and intention in Jesus being born, and the reason why we're here on a Tuesday night to celebrate that, is because God's intention is actually to save us, not to condemn us. That's his heart. And the choice has been put in our hands whether we receive what he's trying to do for us or not. Whether we decide to value the treasure that he's offering us and decide to believe that it's worth more than anything else in our life, anything you can come up with, to have relationship restored with him. See, the problem is sin. The problem is not being righteous like God. And we have chosen in many different ways to walk away from the righteousness of God. And that hasn't made God be this old angry man sitting in a chair ready to strike us with lightning. That's not what Scripture tells us. It's his intention to save us from that position that's cut us off from him. And he's provided that way through why we celebrate Christmas, Jesus Christ, his Son, who is righteous and without sin. And Jesus said, I'll do it for you. If the payment for sin is separation from God and death, I'll do that, even though I don't owe anything, and I'll pay for you. What a great exchange. He'll pay for our sins so that we can have eternal life. That's the greatest exchange that we'll ever come across. That's the great treasure. And so, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, then we enter into this relationship with God. And then we can walk with him moving forward. I guess my biggest hope around Christmas, I think many of us came in here and we have just been running like crazy to get ready for Christmas. To do the traditions that we love, and we do love them, and they're worth doing. We're thinking about what we got to do after the service, and you're hoping that Jeff's not going to go super long. And I'm actually almost done. We intentionally don't make Christmas Eve service that long. But what if we did more than just trip over the corner of the treasure chest once every December 25th? Like, what if there's actually a treasure in there that you couldn't imagine its value? And I'm speaking to any of you. If you've been walking with Jesus your whole life, that parable that Jesus tells really challenges me to say, am I actually thinking about the kingdom of heaven with in that way? Am I actually valuing it that much? Or are there other very petty things in my life that I value more? And so it's an opportunity to reset that. And for some of us tonight, maybe it's an opportunity to take that first step of saying, okay, Jesus, I'll take this exchange. That sounds like a really good deal. I come to you and admit that I've sinned in my life. And I bring that sin to you, and I say, could you pay for this sin and restore me to relationship with God. And then you become a part of God's kingdom, his family. And then you get to spend New Year's and the whole 2020 and the rest of your life letting him make you into an oak of righteousness and enjoying all the treasure that's in that treasure chest. There might be someone here tonight who's ready to receive that exchange. So I want to provide for that and just help you pray through what that would look like. So we're going to do that, and in a little bit we'll end with a song and a candle lighting. But first I just want to speak to you, if that's you tonight. And it's not because I just shared that story and I just kind of told you how to do that. It's probably because God's been working in your life through circumstances this last week, probably over the last several years. It's God who's been after you. It's God who's been coming to you and saying, will you receive this great exchange? It's his heart coming out through John 3:16. It's his heart to save you, not condemn you. But it's a limited time offer. He's provided this place, this earth, and this time, however long that is, for us to make the decision. Because God wants to be chosen. He's not making anybody choose him. And so this might be yet another time in your life where this offer has been brought before your attention. Don't keep passing it up. Just open your hands and receive it. So I want to pray. It's not about the magic of a prayer that you are saved. It's about the posture of your heart. And so we pray so that we know and God knows that our heart is moving to an open posture of relationship with him, of admitting our sin, and that we need Jesus to save us. And I believe that's a work that God's doing in your heart. If he's calling you to himself, he's making this offer. And so the prayer is the beginning of a relationship, but the relationship is walked out through your life. So if that's you, I just invite you to pray with me. Let's all just pray. And if that's you, you want to receive that gift, I'll say a prayer. You can say it along with me, or you can agree in your heart. So God, we just come before you tonight with this space that we've created to focus on you, to sing songs about you, Jesus, that you came, and not just how you came, but why. And so for that person who wants to receive that exchange, God, I just pray that you'd help those people know who they are right now. I thank you that you've been working in their lives way before they came here tonight, showing them that you're real, drawing them to yourself because it's your heart to save them. And so to that person, I'd say, pray this. God, I recognize that I've sinned in my life. And I recognize that you've revealed that if we've sinned, we're separated from you. Not because you're mean, but because you're holy and righteous. And because you're holy and righteous, you've also loved me enough to provide a way to pay for my sins through Jesus Christ. So I ask that you would apply Jesus' payment for my sins, his death when he was crucified, when he went to the cross and died, that you would apply that to my sins in my life. I admit that I need that covering. And now I give you my life, that you would lead me. I say that you're my Lord, which means you're my king, my ruler, my leader. And I pray that you would lead me into the life that you've always meant for me to live, with this incredible treasure at my reach of the kingdom of heaven in me. Thank you, God, for making a way. In Jesus' name, amen. So please come talk to me if you prayed that prayer, or talk to somebody who invited you, that you came with. I'd love to share with you more about what it looks like to live in the kingdom of heaven, even here and now, because Jesus said that he came and he brought the kingdom of heaven with him into this earth. And now the kingdom of heaven is advancing against the kingdom of darkness. And his kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. So that's the great exchange that Jesus offers us. I also want to just draw our attention to the fact that we started with Advent and that Jesus is the light of the world. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said of himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Worship team, if you want to come up, I'll move over here. In the weeks to come, next Sunday, which is, what, half a week away now, we have our high school youth director, Seth Clemens, is going to be talking about Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. And what he's going to be looking at is unpacking the levels of restoration in your life that Jesus came to bring and what that looks like, how that plays out in our life. So that's kind of the stepping into. So there's a decision point of saying, you know what, I'm actually tired of just walking by Christmas and saying that's a special thing that Jesus came for me. I actually want to open the treasure box and enjoy it. And so Seth's going to be unpacking that some with us and looking at what does it look like to actually do that? How do we do that? What does it look like when he restores our hearts? And then in January, we start our new series, which is how do we live out the action of this incredible life that God came for us to live here and now so that the way Jesus affected people, he says he actually wants to make us oaks of righteousness so that imagine if your life actually brought restoration. It brought the oil of gladness, a garment of praise instead of despair. Imagine if your life was actually affecting the world around you in that same way. So he wants to restore us and he wants to restore others through us. So we're going to be taking action. We're going to be looking at what it looks like to face our fears like Star talked about. At the Advent time, stepping past our fears and being brave and stepping into action. So I invite you to come join us as we start on that journey in the new year. I'm excited for what's coming. So we're going to have a candle lighting. Hopefully you all got a candle. If you slipped by the front door without a candle, maybe you could raise your hand. Is there any candles left back there? Yeah, so there's, if you need a candle, or if you ate your candle during the service, Susan will, didn't taste very good, did it? And so here's how this is going to work. Instead of everyone moving around and trying to come up here, and just stay in your seats, we're going to light our candles from the Christ candle. So I'll light a candle, and I'll light a couple of people who we've assigned to come up front here, and they'll go and they'll start the people in the rows, and it'll all light up, and this is the fun part for parents. I know you get to manage your kids not burning the church down. But the symbolism of what we're trying to accomplish here is that Jesus is the light of the world. And so shifting to a focus on why we celebrate Christmas, not just how it happened. Okay? So let me pray. Lord, I thank you that we can continue to learn in deeper and deeper ways. We can continue to learn the amazing exchange that you've come to give us. And so I just pray, no matter if there are people in here who have been walking with you for decades, or if someone's just received that gift from you tonight, that you would take us to new levels tonight, tomorrow at Christmas, in the new year, of discovering the life that you've always meant for us to live, that we'd take hold of it. Open our eyes to see that you are always meant to be the light in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.